Morning.
Morning.
So have you made your New Year's resolutions yet?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad. But I'm going to talk about them anyway. So, Webster defines resolution as being marked by firm determination. It's a word that comes up every New Year's Eve as we make a firm decision that this new year we're going to lose weight, stop smoking, get married, come to church more often, save more, and the list goes on and on. We talk about resolutions a lot in the new year. We make a list and promise ourselves that this is going to be the year. Have you heard the story about the man who moved into a retirement community to spend the rest of his life? It wasn't long until he had made a number of friends among the other residents. There was one lady he was especially attracted to, and she was attracted to him. So they spent a lot of time together, and finally one evening he proposed. The next morning he woke up remembering his proposal, but he couldn't remember her answer. So he went to her and said, "I'm really embarrassed. I proposed to you last night, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." "Oh, thank goodness," she said. "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember to who." Sometimes I feel that way about New Year's resolutions. I tell myself, this year, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to exercise regularly and lose weight. I'm going to do all kinds of things to improve myself physically and spiritually. But then life happens. That firm resolve gets forgotten. As something I deem more important takes its place, or it takes up more time than I had thought, or it's harder than I thought it would be. And maybe you have that problem too. I would guess that most resolutions don't last through the month of January. So I have a suggestion for a New Year's resolution that we ought to be able to remember. It's kind of broad and general, but here it is. Let's promise ourselves and God that we will make a change for the better. And 2019, as God's people, as God's church, let's make this one simple resolution. We're going to make a change for the better, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe a change for the better would be cutting your family and yourself some slack, or showing up for work on time, or finishing a project that you've started. But whatever we do, we're going to try to be kinder and gentler with people we come in contact with. Maybe perform a random act of kindness occasionally. We're going to smile more, treat people with the same dignity and respect we want to be shown. And maybe our little corner of the world will be a better place. This sermon, and I know it's going to come as a surprise to you, is actually not about resolutions or the keeping of them, but rather happiness. And maybe they go hand in hand. Do you ever resolve to be happy? And what would that look like if you did? Let's start with prayer. God, 2018 had its struggles, but it also had some good times. Let us focus on the good, and let us learn from our struggles. And as 2019 begins its adventure, let us welcome it with hope. Amen. Want to see something to make me happy? I smile every time I see it. It's a gift from Jean and Kathy Fannin. But before I show it to you, I've shown it to you. I have to give you the backstory. You have to understand that my Christmas decorating consists of that pop-up card that is a nativity scene sent to me about 3 years ago by a very dear friend. I put a picture of this card on Facebook with the post, Mick saying, "When are we decorating for Christmas?" Me, "I got this done." When Pastor David saw my decorations, he decided to give us an 8-inch, I said 8 inches, lighted Christmas tree and a teeny tiny wooden nativity scene. The whole shebang can be set up in 2 minutes and taken down in less. I love it. Mick tolerates it. Our friends obviously think we need help with this Christmas decorating thing, Thus, this new edition, I smile every time I see it. Watch. Hey, don't judge me. I love it. Ask 100 people what they think they want out of life, and 75 of them will say, I just want to be happy. Ask the same 100 people what it means to be happy, and 90 will say something about people, places, or things. The answers would range from living in the right house to having the right job, from being loved and appreciated to feeling financially secure. Others might have to do with having the right spouse or healthy children. We might even hear a few answers that have to do with fame and fortune or achieving our goals in life. We all long to find the secret of true happiness, a happiness that withstands the ups and downs of life, the storms and trials that inevitably come our way. We want happiness that lasts, that no discouragement, no frustration, no grief, no hurricane can destroy. The more we search, the more we discover that happiness is not an exterior characteristic. Happiness is not dependent upon those circumstances of life that change so frequently. We soon discover that happiness is an inside job. Happiness begins inside us, in our hearts, and it is that kind of happiness that Jesus came to give us, and it is that kind of happiness that the Bible translations call joy. Did you know that it's been proven that to be happy is healthy? And God knew that many years ago. In Proverbs 17:22, the author writes, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Laughter releases a substance in your brain called endorphins, which helps your body fight disease and releasing healing powers. So let's release some endorphins. A cat died and went to heaven. God met her at the gates and said, you have been a good cat all these years. Anything you want is yours for the asking. The cat thought for a minute and said, all my life I lived on a farm and slept on hard wooden floors. I would like a real fluffy pillow to sleep on. God said, say no more. And instantly the cat had a huge fluffy pillow. A few days later, 6 mice were killed in an accident, and they all went to heaven together. God met the mice at the gates with the same offer that he made the cat. The mice said, well, we have had to run all of our lives from cats, dogs, and even people with brooms. If we could just have some little roller skates, we would not have to run again. God answered, it's done. And all the mice had beautiful skates. About a week later, God decided to check on the cat. He found her sound asleep on a fluffy pillow. So God gently awakened the cat and asked, is everything okay? How have you been doing? Are you happy here? The cat replied, oh, it is wonderful. I have never been so happy in my life. The pillow is fluffy, and those little meals on wheels you sent have been delicious. Yeah, I like that one too. Now you know why Jeff tells jokes. He's helping you release your endorphins, right? Let's return to a part of our scripture reading. Paul writes, I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Paul was content having more than enough. Paul was content having nothing. His contentment, his feeling of calm satisfaction and pleasure was based on a firm determination, a resolution, to live knowing he can be happy through anyone with the one who strengthens him. A joyful heart is good medicine. Be happy with much or with little. We need to be more intentional about being happy. And I've got some suggestions. Cultivate gratitude. Sometimes it can seem difficult to find things that we're thankful for. If Finding time to practice gratitude in small ways throughout our day enables us to let go of toxic emotions such as resentment and envy. Let me share this story with you. In late December of 1980, something of a miracle occurred in Langby, Minnesota. A man named Wally Nelson awoke to find the body of a 19-year-old girl named Jean Hilliard, frozen, as he said, solid as a log, on his doorstep. She had apparently sat for about 6 hours outdoors in 22 below temperatures. He brought her to the hospital, where to everyone's amazement, she was revived, with no more damage than a few blistered toes. Hilliard became an instant celebrity. She toured local churches, talk shows, flew out to New York City to tell her story. She was even on the Today Show with Tom Brokaw. But once the attention died down, Hilliard said the experience didn't really change the trajectory of her life. Almost everyone she knew told her she was saved by a miracle. So she kept waiting for something dramatic to happen. But her life had been normal. She got married, had kids, and moved to a mid-sized town in central Minnesota where she works at Walmart. Things might have turned out differently, she said, if she could only remember the 6 hours she spent frozen in Nelson's yard. If she could have seen something dramatic. It's like I fell asleep and woke up in the hospital. I didn't see any light or anything like that. It was kind of disappointing. So many people talk about that, and I didn't get anything. Shouldn't a miracle be enough? What if living a normal life with ordinary kids in a mid-sized town and working at Walmart was the reason for the miracle? Jean Hilliard had so much to be grateful for, married, kids, a job, but she chose to focus on not seeing a light or anything. So how do we cultivate gratitude? I want you to think of 5 things that you're grateful for and do this on a daily basis. You can do this when you get up. You can do it when you're going to sleep. You can do it right now. You might be thinking, I've heard of that before. But I want to challenge you. Yes, you may have heard of it before, but when was the last time you actually put it into practice? Explore this practice and notice the positive impact it can have for you. As we cultivate greater appreciation for what is around us, we could include being thankful for what's inside of us. We can delight and feel grateful for our own unique talents and strengths. Perhaps you have a knack for making people laugh, or for being a good listener. Or maybe you can just thank yourself for getting out of bed and making it through this day. We can be grateful that we have a heart, a mind, and the wisdom to know how to live with kindness and compassion. Learn to forgive. Holding a grudge and nursing grievances can affect our physical as well as our mental health. One way to curtail these kinds of feelings is to foster forgiveness. This reduces the power of bad events to create bitterness and resentment. In his book, 5 Steps to Forgiveness, clinical psychologist Everett Worthington offers a 5-step process he calls REACH. First, recall the hurt. This is not a stewing or brooding over the hurt, but simply taking a look at it. What happened? Jeff stepped on my toe. Then empathize and try to understand the act from the perpetrator's point of view. Jeff didn't intentionally step on my toe. He was just not looking where he was walking. Be altruistic by recalling a time in your life when you were forgiven. I've stepped on Jason's toe and he never got mad at me. Commit to putting your forgiveness into words. You can do this either personally, in a letter to the person, or in your journal. I'll write it in my journal because Jeff doesn't even know I'm upset. Finally, try to hold on to forgiveness. Don't dwell on your anger, your hurt, or your desire for vengeance. My example of Jeff stepping on my toe was very simplistic, but the idea and the process works even in more weightier matters. When you get to the part where you empathize and you can't really think of a good reason why Jeff would do that, you can always say, well, he did the best he could with what he had. People, I don't believe, set out to cause us harm. But we are all broken and don't always behave as we should. The alternative to forgiveness is mulling over a transgression. Rumination or going over something repeatedly in your mind is a mental health bad boy. Worthington, the person who gave us REACH, says rumination is associated with almost everything bad in the mental health field: obsessive compulsive disorder, depression, anxiety. Another way to increase your joy potential is to engage in meaningful activities. People are seldom happier than when they are doing something they enjoy. At 94, Frank Walsh had already lived a long, full life. After his wife of 62 years passed away, he strolled down to a neighboring senior center and, in his own words, said, to meet dames. The one who caught his eye turned out to be Rosemary Acker, who's 87, a woman he began seeing 3 times a week. "I couldn't ask for more in life," said Walsh. "I have health and love and now this." This was the crazy idea he had one day to join the local high school marching band. Remember, he is 94. But he wanted to be around the high school students because he thought it would make him feel young again. So when Chad Davies, director of the marching band at Wilsonville High, heard about the idea, he posed the question to his students, and Stephen Jennings, lead snare drummer, spoke for the rest of the band. "Awesome," he said. They decided that cymbals would be the best instrument for Frank, since it didn't require him to read any music. So they fashioned a special pair for him, and he gave it a try. It didn't come naturally, but he was a lifelong learner, and he kept at it. "I've been practicing, you know. I watch YouTube videos on how to play the cymbals. I've learned how to keep the left hand stable and hit with the right hand, and how to deaden the cymbal by pressing it against my body." He and his girlfriend Rosemary sat with the band during Wilsonville's game against Wilson High. When the band played the fight song, Frank played the cymbals. Keeping yourself busy doing meaningless or unnecessary tasks simply for the sake of avoiding idleness seems like a pointless waste of energy. Only it turns out there is a point to it. Recent research shows that keeping busy doing anything makes you a whole lot happier than you would have been doing nothing. Just sitting around bored is a recipe for misery. The good news is, now that you know that busyness is better for you and will make you happier than just sitting around, you will always have a reason to choose busyness. Get up, do something, anything. Even if there really is no point to what you're doing, you will feel better for it. And lastly, stay connected to friends. And I don't mean the hundreds of friends you have on social media. People need real friendships and real interactions. It's no newsflash that friends make us happy. But a professor at Northern Arizona University, revealed what it is about friendship that warms our hearts. It turns out that companionship, simply doing things together, is the component of friendship that makes us most happy. We bicker with our friends, feel envious of them, or even gossip about them sometimes. But they make us burst into laughter when we're down in the dumps. They're there to slap us on our back and raise a glass when we have good news. And they play a starring role in some of our most precious memories. You don't need me to tell you that despite how complicated your platonic friendships are, they enrich your life in profoundly meaningful ways. When there's something serious to discuss, hopefully we have a confidant we can turn to. We need that because according to a 2010 study in Psychological Science, people with someone to confide in are the healthiest mentally, spiritually, and physically, and have more conversations of major or practical importance than small talk. When was the last time you had a meaningful conversation with a friend? If you can't remember, schedule some catch-up time. While the benefits of friendship can't ever be measured, how do you calculate how much joy your best friend has brought you? Study after study shows that friendships boost our happiness and even our health, And the reason friends make us happy, they make us feel that we matter. These suggestions, I feel, will make us have the kind of happiness that can't be dampened because of our circumstances, the kind of happiness that Paul talked about. Follow some of them. Heck, follow all of them. And maybe you can sing with gusto and understanding. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. Amen.